Amen. Amen.
Before I sing tonight, as you know, close to a month and a half from now, it'll be a year since Hurricane Sandy happened, and Debbie and I lost our house, and it's been on my mind for a while to write a song as a testimony, just to say that even though the Lord's taken some stuff away from us, He's still good. And
Amen.
He's still been good to us.
That's right.
And James 1:3 says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." And I know I've heard a lot of preachers say, "Don't pray for patience." I don't know if I ever did, but He's definitely trying us, but He's still helping us through this whole situation. And 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So if it took some material loss on our part to gain something that's much more precious than gold, it seems like it's worth it to me.
Amen.
So
Amen,
whatever the Lord has in store for us in the future, I know I just trust Him. I don't know what it is. I don't know what the plan is, but I'm just seeing what He has in store
Amen.
For us.
Amen, Chris.
There's calm seas out on this boat tonight. No storm in sight, no evil plight. Everything, it seems all right. There's no worries that my ship will run aground. No stirring sound, no nothing loud. Only peace it now abounds. But there's a storm on the horizon, and the waves, they are rising. These trials threaten my soul, but there's one thing that I know. And though the storms may surround me and the waves they come up high, beginning to sink I cry out, but Jesus is close by. And He reminds me, though the trials of life seem hard to bear, and sometimes they lead us to despair, they only serve to draw us closer to God. The trials are meant to draw us closer to God. And now as I travel along this pilgrim way, the winds they sway, yes, every day, but to Jesus they do obey. So when a storm is on the horizon, and the waves they are rising, these trials may threaten my soul, but there's one thing that I know. And though the storms may surround me and the waves they come up high, beginning to sink I cry out, but Jesus is close by. And He reminds me, though the trials of life seem hard to bear, and sometimes they lead us to despair, they only serve to draw us closer to God. The trials are meant to draw us closer to God. And if a trial it comes along, God gives me a song. Fear doesn't have a place, 'cause with Jesus I am safe. And though the storms may surround me and the waves they come up high, beginning to sink, I cry out, for Jesus is close by. And He reminds me, though the trials of life seem hard to bear, and sometimes they lead us to despair, they only serve to draw us closer to God. The trials are meant to draw us closer to God.
Praise the Lord. You've helped us. And you always do, and I want to thank you. Now, let's make sure we're on the same. I have a short memory. Amen. Okay, let's give it a try here. He stood beside the
sorry.
Was it me or her?
That was me that time.
About time. It's usually me. All right. Help us out, Lord.
Sorry.
It's all right. Break the ice here.
He stood beside the gate of heaven, waiting to go in. And he wondered how this holy place would take a man like him. With shouts of great rejoicing, and with music then they came. Of the angels standing by him, he asked what could be their names. These are the company of prophets, a goodly fellowship of fools, faith and boldness, who blessed the poor and made the wounded whole. Oh, he fell upon his knees and cried, I am not one of these. He waited till another band of shining ones drew nigh. They entered into heaven with a hallelujah cry. He asked again, who are these? Can you tell me whence they came? He seemed to see the answer in a burning tongue of flame. These are the company of martyrs, a mighty fellowship of saints, not faint. Oh, he fell upon his knees and cried, I am not one of these. Then suddenly a multitude was heard from far away. Their voices rang with songs of joy like children at their play. He saw Rahab, saw David, Mary Magdalene, and Paul, and the thief who died by Jesus was the one who led them all. Who are these? He almost shouted at the angel. These are the
from his knees. I can go in with thee, and I can go in, for my heart is free from sin. I've been washed in the blood, everlasting life to win. I can rejoice, I can lift up my voice, I can sing, and I can go in. Though he thought that there could be no hallelujahs and no cries for this lowly band of people by the world despised, but as the scenes of heaven opened up before his eyes, he saw the martyrs and the prophets and the host of heaven rise. And they sang, I can go in, for my heart is free from sin. I've been washed in the blood, everlasting life to win. I can rejoice, I can lift up my voice, I can sing, and I can go in. I can rejoice, I can lift up my voice, I can sing, and I can go in.
Isn't that a blessing? Amen. Amen. Here we go. Can I get a witness? Are there any believers in this house? Anybody washed in the blood? Born again without a doubt? Stand up and testify. May God be glorified. Haven't we been blessed? Can I get a witness? I've got first-hand information. Listen to what God's done for me. It's a remarkable transformation from what I used to be. Once I was a losing sinner, I was weak in my spiritual fitness. By His grace I became a winner, and that made me an expert witness. Can I get a witness? Are there any believers in this house? Anybody washed in the blood? Born again without a doubt? Come on now, stand up and testify. Let God be glorified. Haven't we been blessed? Can I get a witness? The saints that have gone before us, they were tried by opposition, yet they testified with boldness. They were proud to be called Christian. Like them, don't be ashamed. Just live what you profess. Stand up in Jesus' name, 'cause you've been called to be a witness. Can I get a witness? Are there any believers in this house? Anybody washed in the blood? Born again without a doubt? Stand up and testify. Let God be glorified. Haven't we been blessed? Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Are there any believers in this house? Anybody washed in the blood? Born again without a doubt? Stand up and testify. Pray, Lord! God be glorified. Haven't we been blessed? Can I get a witness? Come on now. Haven't we been blessed? Can I get a witness? That's good.
Amen.
That's fun. Lord, I'm glad to be saved. Amen. Amen. Yeah, duh. Amen. All right. Brother Dean was talking about the chains falling off, and man, it ought to make it easy to get up and follow the Lord. And it reminded me of something that an old preacher from Houston, Texas, a guy by the name of Jack Wood, down at Shady Acres Baptist Church, what he said one time. He said he was observing a chain gang out on the side of the road outside of Houston one time, and they dropped the prisoners off by the truck, and there'd be a guy there, a guard with a shotgun on a horse, and these guys would have this big old ball shackled to their leg on a chain, and then they had a sickle, because this is before they had weed eaters. And they'd be out there, and they'd cover however much ground they could cover in the perimeter that chain would allow them. And when they got that, the weeds cut in that area, they'd have to pick the ball up, be real heavy, and they'd have to carry it, and the guard would tell them when to drop it. And then they'd be able to do the same thing over and over again, day in and day out, down there in South Texas. And he says, some Christians remind me of those prisoners. They're carrying around, it says, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin would just so easily beset us. He said, some Christians are carrying around this ball, even after Jesus cut the chain. He said, for goodness sake, drop the ball. And some of us are carrying around things we don't. Hey, there's victory in Jesus Christ tonight. He set us free, beloved. And man, if I was around Pat Dean every week, I'd have a heart attack or something. He gets me fired up. All right, this is the last night, so I'm going to tell you a little story. A sweet little boy surprised his grandmother one morning. She was up and reading her Bible. He's a little guy, 5, 6, 7 years old, something like that. And she's up there reading her Bible, her quiet time. And the little kid wanted to be a blessing to his grandma. And so he's down in the kitchen, and he fixes her a cup of coffee all by himself. And he wanted to be a blessing to her. And here he comes, very carefully, steaming hot cup of coffee, carried it into his grandma, and she's surprised. She didn't know he could do that. And he says, you know, a little smile, and I want, you know, this is for you, grandma. And so she took it. She was impressed. She took it, and he's standing there, you know, wanting her opinion. She took a sip, and it was awful. It was the worst cup of coffee she'd ever had in her life. And there's a clause somewhere in the Bible about grandmas are allowed to say, like, it was great when it was awful. I don't know where that is. But so anyway, she didn't want to, you know, so she said, oh, this is great. And he's like beams. He's happy, and he's not leaving. And he's going to stand there until she drinks the whole thing. And so he does, and she's got this, and she is choking it down, and it's bad. But grandmas are, she's going to drink it, man, for her grandson. That's just what grandmas do. It's the kind of grandma I had, thank God. She got down to the bottom of the cup, and there were 3 little Green Army men. And the cup, I mean, she had seen him playing with them outside the day before. And she's trying to put it together. No wonder it just tastes so bad. And she said, Johnny says, why are there 3 little Green Army men in the bottom of my cup? And he looked at his grandma innocently and said, Grandma, I heard on the radio, the best part of waking up is soldiers in your cup. I thought that's funny. Take your Bible tonight and go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. What a blessing it has been to see Miss Serrano again after praying for her and Brother Manny in the Philippines for years, and knowing of them through your pastor and through those of you here. And what a privilege it is to meet Mrs. Sabaka. I never met Brother Mel Sabaka. I've heard about him ever since I got saved. Over in Ohio, almost 23 years ago, I'd heard his name mentioned and spoken of highly. And what a privilege it is, sister, to meet you here. And God is just amazing. I mean, to say God is good is accurate, is true, but it's an understatement. And we really don't have the language, so I won't wear out the adjectives, as we don't have the capability to describe the Lord. But amazing, it seems to fit sometimes. It just, amen, he's marvelous, amen? So what a privilege, what an honor it is to just come by here, to be friends of this church, to be prayed for by this church, to be friends with your pastors, but then to come here and preach for you. It's just, it's all him, and believe me, I know it. So thank you. First Bible Church, for being our friends. John chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And that's noon. That's the heat of the day. And verse 7, it says, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. I want to preach to you tonight out of this passage here in John chapter 4 about this woman that the Lord Jesus Christ put some considerable time into out of concern for her soul. And it's a good model, for us that are soul conscious. There's some things to be learned here. So I've asked the Lord what to finish this meeting with, and I have no doubt that this is the direction he sent me. I just pray that it'll come across in such a way that you'll get what the Lord wants you to get from it. Father, I love you tonight again, and I thank you for your grace and goodness, and I pray that you just continue to meet with us tonight. Father, I confess that I'm not up to the task to deliver this message tonight, but truth be known, Lord, and you know the truth. I never have been ever, and I know it. And so I thank you, God, for enabling me to do what you called me to do. And I know full well that without you, we can do nothing. And forgive me for ever trying, but I'm not trying tonight. I beseech you by the mercies of God, Lord, that you would enable me tonight to say something that you can use to make us better vessels, meet for the Master's use. I love you, and I pray this in the majestic and mighty name of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so here we've got the Lord. You see where he's at, what he's doing. He's thirsty. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now this woman came from the city there, from Sychar. And I want you to notice that the Lord Jesus Christ, at first you have here his request. This lady came, he was there at the well. She came to the well to draw water, probably something she did all the time. And she is just minding her own business. The scripture clearly shows us that he initiated contact with her. He's the one that spoke to her. And she didn't say anything, and she wouldn't have. She wouldn't have said anything to him, because of verse 9, you have her response to his request. It says, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. She didn't question why he was in Samaria. She didn't speak to him at all. And she didn't expect him to speak to her. She could tell by the way he looked, by the way he dressed, that he was a Jew. And as she approached the well, again, she was minding her own business. Let me say to you, she had no clue who he was. She was just another Jewish man to her, except for one thing. He spoke to her. Because as the passage said, and as she was fully aware of, the most had no dealings whatsoever. And so the Lord says to her, give me a drink. But what you notice is, as she wants to, or she begins a discussion on culture and customs. She didn't acknowledge his request at all. She just started saying, well, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. The conversation went cultural. What I want to get across to you tonight is that she was in the presence of her Creator, and she didn't recognize him. She had no clue who he was. And there's nothing new there, because John chapter 1 and verse 10 tells us this. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Amen. I guarantee you, if Bill Gates or one of these great businessmen that's founded multi-billion-dollar industries like Microsoft or something like that, I guarantee you that if he showed up at one of his factories, they'd be falling all over themselves to impress him. But this Bible says that the world was made by Jesus Christ and the world didn't recognize him. And verse 11 goes on to say he came unto his own. And his own received him not. So when you think about the scenario here, this woman is in the presence of her Creator, and she doesn't know it. Well, it's not the first time that's happened. Thank God for verse 12 in John chapter 1. It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, let me ask you something tonight. Have you received him? Have you believed on his name? Are you a child of God? Listen, the world might not have recognized him. You and I didn't either for a while. His own might not have received him. The Lord's not done with Israel yet. One day they will. But I'll tell you what, hey, I'm glad he made an exception in time. I'm glad there's a parenthesis in the history of the world referred to as the dispensation of grace. I'm glad tonight that I received him, that he gave me power to be a son of God. Amen. Amen. I like that. Amen. And so, you know, he asked her, give me to drink. And she goes into this cultural discussion. And verse 10, where's verse 10? Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. Amen. Jesus didn't answer her question either. He didn't even respond. You know what he did? Stayed right on track. He cut right to the heart of the matter. His intention was to talk to this lady about her true need, the gift of God, everlasting life, and whatever it was, whatever attempt she made, intentionally or unintentionally, he wasn't going to get sidetracked. And boy, I tell you what, there's a lesson right there for you and I, if we're going to make any difference. Number one, it just may be necessary for you and I to initiate contact. And number two, when they throw up everything they can come up with, to say, what about this and what about that? It is important that you and I stay on track. Jesus Christ didn't say, well, in this particular case, I happen to be coming through here. No, man, he just stayed right on course. And if we're going to win anybody to Christ, we're going to have to learn to stay on course too. Verse 11, it says, then the woman saith unto him, see, she makes this statement about living water, he does, and she says, the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? So she was, first off, her first response to him had to do with culture and customs, and now she's talking practical. Well, that's, you know, you don't even have anything to draw with. Here you are at the well. You don't have anything to draw. Maybe that's why I asked her for a drink. Amen. Verse 12, art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank there of himself and his children and his... And now she's going, she is doing everything but addressing what he said. Because now the conversation has turned historical. Now she's starting to talk about her father Jacob. He said, give me to drink. And he started telling her about living water and all that. And again, verse 13, and Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's a catchphrase that should have got her attention right there. What you notice there, in every attempt, that she doesn't have understanding. I'm not being critical of her. She doesn't know any better. But boy, is that not typical of how it goes? We'll try to say something about the Lord, and people will go this direction for a while, and then you'll say something, and they'll go another direction. And you know, the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So just be patient with them, but stay on course. Don't let the devil use those things to distract you. Amen. Because the Lord, that's what's going on here. The Lord, He stays focused. Man, He listens. He stays focused. And you and I are going to have to stay focused too if we're going to make a difference, because people do the same thing today. They'll try to change the subject. What about people that never heard? What about the people? What about, you know, I had a guy who asked me, what about, I said, what about you, pal? What am I going to do with them? Right now I'm talking to you. Where are you going to spend eternity? You know. People had all these questions, amen? And or they'll say, well, I was raised. We're not talking about how anybody was raised here. We're talking about what the Bible says. So we got to learn to stay on track, and just like he did. And then it says in verse 15, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And now she's on track a little bit. She's saying the right thing. He's offering her this living water, and she says, give me the water. But she still doesn't know what he's talking about. She's still clueless. Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that thou saidest truly. Amen. She didn't recognize him. We've established that, but boy, he recognized her. He is reading her mail right here. And not only does he know she's shacking up with a guy, but he knows her whole history. And, amen. And she begins to get the point. He saw her need, and it was greater than, she came out there to get water, but her need was much greater than getting water. And boy, beloved, we live in a world that's in dire need of a lot of things, and morality is not the least, but it's not the most important either. This world doesn't need another program or another social worker. This world doesn't need to turn over a new leaf. This world needs Jesus Christ. Amen. Desperately. Verse 19, let's look at that. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Now she's turning to talk spiritual. I mean, every smoke screen there is. I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me. Boy, that'll preach. Believe me. You know what people want to do? Well, show me, make this make sense to me. I told a fellow last night, if I could explain to you everything in the Bible, do you know what that means to me? That would mean that God's no smarter than I am. You know what the scholars do? You know why there's so many different Bibles? I mean, outside of the ulterior motive of the serpent, like we talked about in Genesis 3, to corrupt the Word of God. You know why men get read through that Bible, intelligent men, and read through that Bible, and they come to a thing they can't understand? Their stinking pride won't let them just ask God. They'll change the Bible. And then at the end of the day, they got a Bible they can explain so that you think they're smart. I don't want a God that's no smarter than me. Amen. Amen. And so anyway, he said, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. You know what? When you start a spiritual discussion with the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you what, man, he has the last word. This is his domain, buddy. Well, you Jews say we're supposed to worship. He says, let me explain something to you. And, buddy, he talked to her straight, and he talked to her with power, and he talked to her with authority. And in verse 26, let me say verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Look at verse 26. See, first he had his request, give me to drink. And her response, which went every direction it could possibly go. But now you got his revelation. She said, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. Jesus said, verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Amen. Amen. Now, you know what? If you look at this scenario that we've been looking at here, as a type of church, consider the well, if you would for a second, as a type of going to church. This woman was there. She was there probably on a regular basis. They needed water regularly. She might have went once a day. She might have went once a week. But she is probably a regular. If you look at this well as a type of the church. And she knew some things. She was no dummy. She knew some things about worship. She knew things about other religions. She knew where the Jews worshiped. She knew what they did. And she knew her Messiah would come one day. She even knew his name. She called his name right. She came to the well, type of the church, prepared to get what she thought she needed. Amen. Well, she came with a water pot. People go to church and maybe they'll bring a Bible or whatever, but they come thinking, you know, that, okay, let's see what's going to happen today. And she, man, I'm telling you what, this world's full of people just like this lady. I'm going to church just like she's going to well, going to this well, but they're just as clueless as she is. She knew something, but she didn't know him personally until this day. He told her everything about herself, and so we're going to leave it right there for a second and look at verse 27. Jesus Christ revealed himself, and then it says this. Then the passage takes a little twist here, and the focus goes back to the disciples. And upon this, this is the Lord talking to this Samaritan lady, which was against Jewish custom. So they noticed that. And upon this came, verse 27, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with this woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou? Here, these disciples, man, do you realize what they're doing? They're critical of Jesus Christ. They're looking down, they're going, wait a minute, what's he talking to her for? He's God! He's not supposed to be talking to her. I know, we would never say nothing. They didn't say anything either. But the Bible reveals what's going on in their heart. And I'll tell you something, God knows what's going on in your heart. It was quoted the other night. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's Psalm 19:14. And so they came, and right away she leaves. They get there. They're coming back from town. Well, verse 8 says this, for the disciples were gone away into the city for to buy meat. See, they weren't there when Jesus was talking to her. So they come upon it, and they're witnessing this, and they had gone away in the city to buy meat. Now, that's supplies. That was stuff. That was to obtain things. And so they missed all that. They missed that discourse that we looked at. And they come back, and they're a little critical of why he's talking to her. They don't have a clue. They should have had a clue by now. Because everything he does is right. And if you don't understand it, that's a good time just to keep your mouth shut and see what God's doing, because he just doesn't check in with us. So anyway, they had gone to town to buy supplies, to buy meat. It said in verse 8, and there's nothing wicked about that, or evil, or carnal, or sinful. A lot of things in the city, they went into the city, a lot of things in the city are evil and wicked and sinful and carnal, and you got to be careful. But these guys weren't doing anything wrong, and the proof of that is over there in Matthew chapter 6, where it says in verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, and he's talking about, you know, what you're going to eat, and what are you going to wear, and it says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. The Lord knows we have needs. He's blessed us here, but then verse 33 said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. So he's talking to believers. Okay, the Lord knows that as a human being, you have needs. And they're all well and good in their place. But if you're a child of God, he said, but seek ye. He's talking to disciples, Sermon on the Mount. He's talking to them folks. And he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things. And so that has set the precedent for how our priorities ought to be as New Testament believers. In other words, his priorities need to be our priorities. We're not an exception, amen. We're supposed to just do it the Bible way. Verse 31, it goes on. We're just looking at this passage tonight. We're going to go down to verse 31. In the meanwhile, okay, we'll go back to the lady in a second. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. These guys are hung up on eating. Amen. If I was at a Baptist church, I'd say they're probably the First Baptist Church. Amen. But you guys do a pretty good job fellowshipping around here, I noticed, on Sunday afternoon. Amen. Okay, did I quench the spirit there? I mean, can you smile? Can we go on? Hello. Amen. These sold-out disciples who left their families and their jobs and their religion to follow Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 4, they're still dealing with food. First they went into town and missed this whole thing. They went into town to buy it. And then they came back. They had to prepare it because, I mean, they didn't stop at Wendy's. I mean, they had to, whatever they bought, they had to come back and fix. And now they want to serve it. You know, Master, eat. These sold-out, proven, solid followers totally missed what's been going on here because Jesus isn't worried about eating. He says in verse 32, but he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore, said the disciples one another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Man, Jesus Christ is way more concerned with this lady's soul than he is to have anything to do with anything physical. And you know what? They should have been tapped into that. But you know, if your eyes, if your vision is just horizontal all the time, then the things of this earth are. But you know, every once in a while, we got to get a vertical view of what's going on because the Lord's got a plan, and we're supposed to be getting with His plan, right? Amen. All right, now I'm not really criticizing these guys because there's a time and a place to go to town. That's fine. But here, there's a contrast in the passage. And all this tonight has just been to maybe zero in on this contrast for you and leave you something to think about in the days to come. And we put down dates for next year, but we both hope it never comes to pass. We both hope, like, you know, Brother Dean, you keep watching because you're going to be right one of these days. And I hope you're right before I have to come. I told one church, says, well, if the Lord doesn't come back, I'll be back. And then I realized that when I got there, everybody went, oh, he's back. That means the Lord didn't come. Nobody's interested in looking at it. So these disciples, they went to town. That's the title tonight, going to town. These disciples went to town. Now they've come back. Verse 28, then the woman, oh no, it doesn't say that, but this is what it does say. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the man, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is this not the Christ? Amen. Now this woman, now they went to town to buy meat. Now she's going to town, but she's not going to town to go shopping. Amen. Look at what she said. We read it. Verse 29. Come see a man. This woman is so excited about having met the Lord Jesus Christ. She left the well. She went for water and she didn't even get the water. She left her water pot. She forgot everything. Let me tell you something. Her whole agenda changed when she met Jesus Christ. Verse 30, it says, then they went out, then in response to, come see a man, which told me all things I ever did. Verse 29, is this not the Christ? Verse 30, then they went out of the city and came unto him. At verse 39, look what it says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. Then verse 41, it goes on and says again, and many more believed. This woman, man, went to town fired up about Jesus Christ. Let everybody know about him. And you've got a multitude of people from the city that come out to where Jesus was. And I'm going to tell you what, whatever reason they might have thought they came, exposure to the Lord Jesus Christ is going to have an effect. And some believed on the word of the woman, and then some just hung around long enough they believed, it says, because of his own word. But what I'm saying to you is that because of this woman's excitement, she got saved. Isn't it good that Jesus Christ didn't say, oh, leave me alone. You know, I'm trying to talk to you about something serious, but you just want to go this way and that way and that way. He is patient, but he stayed on track. Finally, she got it. I pray that God will enable or open people's understanding. So, because it's just not clear if you're not ready, but, you know, you got to chip away at it. Sooner or later, the lights come on for a lot of us, and maybe not everyone. I understand that, but what a model for soul winning we have in this passage, and right down to the effect, because a bunch of people got saved because of this woman. Now, here's the contrast. I want you to notice this. In verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Coming from where? She's coming from the city. Verse 8, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. They were not at the well at the same time with Jesus Christ until after they came back. So here's how this works. This lady has left the city to go to the well. She's got a water pot, just doing her thing. The disciples, 12 of them, John 4, on their way in, they had to have passed. They had to have passed. She was on her way. They were on their way to the city. Nobody said a word to her. Nobody said a word to her. 12 men. Nobody handed her a track. Nobody. You follow me? Okay, that's real interesting. Nobody said anything, and they wouldn't have. I mean, it's cultural. She was a Samaritan. She was a heathen. She was below them. Okay? That's how they looked down her. So they wouldn't have said anything. You know, it says over in 1 Corinthians, take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now I'm going to make a point here in a second, hopefully, get out of the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, the Bible says this, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall enter the kingdom of God. Well, that's quite a list. Man, he's reading a State of the Union message right there. And I just want to say to you, if you're not careful, you'll be just like these disciples. You'll get just enough religion in you to judge other people and not have enough compassion in you to care about their souls. That's because you forgot this. Look at verse 11. And such were. What a horrendous list of heathens we just read through. And then he says to the Christians in a New Testament church at Corinth, and such were some of you. Well, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on that crowd. But what about this? But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified. But, no, let's start all over. But ye are washed. But you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Anybody like that in here tonight?
Amen.
Well, such were some of you. Amen. I don't want to get so, whatever, religious that I start looking down on others that the Lord left us here to witness to. I just find it real interesting, and no mistake or no coincidence that in the same passage you have disciples. I'm talking about proven men who left everything to serve the Lord. I look up to them, they're heroes. But you have them going to town for temporal, physical reasons. And you have a brand new convert going to town telling everybody about Jesus Christ. Notice, not one person came to where Jesus was because of those 12 disciples. Everybody that got saved in this passage came because of this brand new sinner. They went to town to buy meat. She went to town to tell them about a man. And my question for you, we'll finish the meeting with this question. What are you going to town for? Think about it. What are you going to town for? Folks that you and I see every day are going on, minding their own business, in dire need, just like her. Didn't even realize it. She wasn't looking. She wasn't searching. People like her, they have physical needs. Like she did. She needed water. People know they need stuff. Amen? But they're clueless of what the real need is. And you know what? They need for you and I to figure out. And I'm prayerfully, but they need us to initiate contact. Amen? It says in Luke 14 and 23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. That meet and greet in the back door, yeah, I'm all for that friendly. I'm all for the friendly church thing. I'm a firm believer. But I'm going to tell you what, that we're supposed to go out and get them. We're not just supposed to be waiting for them. All right, when they charge the door. No. I'm going to tell you what, I didn't get saved in church. Somebody came to where I was.
Amen.
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 And I'm not the only one in this place with a testimony like that. Amen. Amen. So, anyway, it's our turn. This world needs a witness. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Oh, no. We'll sing it again if that's all I can get. Let's try it again. Can I get a witness?
Yes.
I knew you could do it. You know, if you're in here tonight and you might be like this lady here, you got some things together. She had some things together, but she didn't know him personally. And you know what? I wouldn't take for granted that you made it into our midst by way of invitation. We've had visitors. You might be in here tonight, and you don't know Jesus Christ personally. And you might be a great person. I wouldn't take that away from you. But I tell you what, it would be a privilege for you to meet him tonight, for you to let one of us here tonight introduce you personally. Through the scripture, not our little church covenant, not a little booklet about what we believe, right from there. Because that's what we believe. And if you're not saved here tonight, that'd be a great, great thing for you to do to finish this night. I'm going to tell you what. We sang it, man. He'll save from the uttermost to the guttermost. Everybody in between. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. This man knows everything about us and still went to the cross for us. I don't understand that. I can't fathom that, but I'm sure glad of it. Let's all stand. Thank you for a good meeting. But I don't believe the Lord's done. So if you need to do business with God, then this is one more chance, one more opportunity. Preacher, you come. You come. Amen. Thank you, brother.